This anointed teaching by Dr. Beverly Vollmerens comes to you from Christian Family Church International.
Hi, family. It's so wonderful to be with you today. Isn't God good? Why don't we just stand and let us pray? Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, dear sir, to praise and to worship you, to give you glory and honor. We say this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the precious Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you'll rise up bigger within me now, that you'll think through my mind and speak through my lips of clay. And I declare I'm a servant, ready to be used by the Master. Thank you that I'll speak your word fearlessly, boldly, accurately, carried by the wind of the Spirit. Thank you that faith will rise in the heart of your people and fear will be dispelled. And we at Christian Family Church, we're hearers of the word, and therefore we have good success. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen, and you may be seated. Well, aren't we grateful that we are not confined to where we are currently? We have the ability to grow and develop and be transformed into everything that God has destined us to become. You know, family, they say that the mighty oak tree can grow up to 80 feet tall and 100 feet wide. And it's nothing but a nut that refused to give up its ground. The acorn, which rarely grows larger than 2 inches tall, has the capacity to grow nearly 1,000 times its size. Now, we might look like a nut to some people because we refuse to give up when life knocks us down. We refuse to give up when circumstances are difficult. We refuse to give up, hey family, when it feels like all hell comes against us. But Hebrews 10:39 says, and we are not quitters. How many no quitters do I have in the house? Raise your hand, say, Pastor Bev, I'm not a quitter. But we're not quitters. We will not lose out. Oh no, we'll stay with it and survive, trusting all the way. How many of us agree today that we have relentless faith? We believe when others don't. And you know, when we were born again, God gave us something great to do on the earth. You know, family, if we take a small oak tree and we plant it in a 2x2 box, that oak tree will never grow to its full potential. It'll never become what God created to become because of the wrong environment. Now, there's nothing wrong with the seed. In fact, all the ingredients necessary are already inside the seed. But if they are planted in the right environment, the sky is the limit, and that tree can grow 80 foot tall and 100 foot wide. Now, do you know when God created us, he put potential inside each and every one of us. He has already implanted all the gifts and the talents that we need to be a success in this life. And we will become everything that God has destined us to become because we put our trust in him. And we are those people who sets no boundaries. And that's the title of my message today. No boundaries. Say this with me. I refuse to stay in my 2x2 box. Say, no boundaries for me. Absolutely. You might say, Pastor Bev, my environment is so bad. I was born in poverty. I was born, as they say, on the wrong side of the tracks. In fact, some people have said to me, Pastor Bev, I think I was born in the wrong family. They've got no ambition, no drive. I never had a great start in life. I didn't even have a great education. I'm just the average person. I've been knocked down in life like most people have, and I'm just cruising through life, and honestly, I have achieved not much in my life. Well, the truth is, when we're born again by God's Spirit, We have God's abilities inside of us, and we can break out our 2x2 box. You know, family, Dr. Theo and I have taken several tours to Israel. We visited the Dead Sea. Do you know that there are no fishing villages? There's no hustle and bustle of fishermen drying their nets. There's no seagulls flying above. Why not? Because nothing lives in the Dead Sea. That's why it's called the Dead Sea. It's dead. But in reality, the Dead Sea actually has got heavy mineral content. It's rich, but dead. It's abundant and wealthy, but lifeless. And the main reason is a total absence of life. The Dead Sea is actually a cul-de-sac in a desert located 1,200 feet below sea level, and it can only release its water through evaporation. There's no water current. There's no flowing tributaries. There's no barriers that the water can break. There's no traces of life on its shores. Family, some people are exactly like that, rich in content but lifeless. In other words, we can be rich in ability and the gifts that God has put inside of us, but we can be like the Dead Sea. We can be stagnant, never giving out, never helping people, never breaking through the barrier. We can be just stagnating, going through life one day at a time. But we have a choice today. We can choose either to stay where we are, barely making it, depressed, unhappy, going through life one day at a time. You know how people say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Well, we can decide, family. We can say, I'm going to break the boundary of poverty. I'm not going to be poor anymore. I'm going to believe God for a job. Then I'm going to tithe. Then I'm going to give my offerings. And God is going to lead me and guide me. I'm going to break through the boundary of sickness. I'm not going to be sick anymore. I'm decided. I'm going to go for prayer. I'm going to get healed. And then I'm going to eat healthy and I'm going to exercise. Yes, family, we can break through a boundary of misery, addiction, pain. And if we need to, let's go through a freedom group so we can be free. Let's break the bad marriage that perhaps some people are going through. We can have a good marriage. Go on the marriage course and just determine, I'm going to be nice to my spouse. We can have the ability to change circumstances because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. The cycles of wrong thinking can be changed by speaking God's word. We can renew our mind by speaking the word of God. If we look at Romans 12, verse 2, it says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, it's pleasing and perfect. You know, Thomas Edison once said, our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed, family, is we got to try one more time. Everybody say, one more time. How many of you have heard of the Williams sisters, Venus and Serena? Well, these two sisters dominated the world of professional tennis for more than a decade. And yet, each are a success in their own right. But both of them have overcome extreme disadvantages from childhood. They were born in one of the most crime-filled, poverty-ridden neighborhoods in Los Angeles. So don't only think that there's crime in South Africa and poverty in South Africa. Absolutely not. They were brought up in Los Angeles and it was filled with crime. Venus and Serena are the youngest of five sisters. They all shared one bedroom, family. They had two bunk beds, and for a good portion of their childhood, they only slept in bunk beds. In fact, Serena, which was the youngest, she didn't even have a bed of her own, and so she slept with a different sister every night. That's how poor they were. But something happened when the girls were about 3 or 4. Their father, Richard Williams, watched a tennis match one night on TV. And then he heard the commentator remark of how much money those players made in just 1 week. He said that amount was more than he made in a whole year. He realized that tennis could provide the family with an opportunity of a better life. So that night he made a decision. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change my family's life. And he decided then and there that he was going to turn his daughters into tennis champions. But there was a problem. He knew nothing about tennis. So he and his wife, they set out and they decided they were going to master the game. They bought books, they bought instructional videos, they read everything they could find, they watched different videos. They didn't just sit on the couch and say, well, I wish our daughters were a success. No, family, they did something about it. They didn't say, well, I wish we just could get out of our neighborhood or get out of poverty. No, family, they said, we're going to do something about it. They educated themselves in the area of tennis. And so then they decide, okay, we are going to take our children and they are going to become tennis champions. So they took all 5 of the girls to the rundown public tennis court in the local park. And it was soon obvious that the 2 youngest girls, Serena and Venus, they showed the most promise of tennis. Then at the age of 3 or 4, the girls began training. Can you imagine? And they began training on a cracked court. They had to clear all the broken glass away, all the garbage away before they could play. So it certainly wasn't a perfect situation, but it was a start. And it wasn't uncommon to hear gunfire echo through the park while they practiced. But they kept at it, and they refused to give up, even though they were so small. They were determined. And you know what, family? They won the respect of everyone who watched them. And then it wasn't long before a local gang decided they're going to look after them. The gang watched them play tennis, but they decided they're going to protect them from anybody who might want to do these little girls harm. By the time Serena and Venus were 9 and 10, the father had managed to get some sponsorships and so were able to move their family to Florida. Eventually, both girls dominated the junior circuit before turning professional in their early teens and went on to win Olympic gold medals and become world champions. But on their road to success, they had to deal with so many personal difficulties. They went through trials, tragedies, including the death of their older sister. However, these 2 girls are living proof of the power of discipline and focus on the task ahead. They refused to think negatively. They worked hard, and above all, they have overcoming faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Family, the truth of the matter is that every one of us sitting under the sound of my voice, there's incredible potential in all of us. If God can change a little pebble and turn it into a pearl, if he can take a caterpillar that's wriggling in the dirt and the earth and make it a butterfly, if God can take an acorn and in time turn it into a huge oak tree, then God can take our lives and turn them into successes, all for his glory. The environment you're in today might be where you are, but it is not who you are. You are a child of the King. You're born to win, born with great potential. You're above and not beneath. Don't think for one moment that you've reached your limit. No, God has more in store for each and every one of us. Now, people around you might try and discourage you, tell you you can't do it, but don't listen to them, family. Too many people let their age or their race or their sex or their economic background hold them down, restrict them from trusting the Lord. Have you ever heard about the flea? Do you know what happens to a flea when you put it in a jar? The flea only jumps high enough so that its head no longer hits the lid. But the interesting thing is that if those fleas in the jar have baby fleas, the baby fleas are born with the ability to jump 200 times their size. However, because they are in the environment where they see the other fleas just jumping high enough not to hit their heads, they duplicate that behavior in that environment. We cannot concern ourselves or try and duplicate the actions of others around us. We were clearly created and destined to jump and climb and soar 200 times our size and even greater. God has more in store for you. General Colin Powell says this, friends that don't help you climb will want you to crawl. Your friends will either stretch your vision or choke your dreams. Those that don't increase you will eventually decrease you. Just like the flea, we were all born with the ability to take huge vertical leaps. Yet, slowly and surely, we allow the neighborhood we grew up in, or our family's social or economic background, or our friends to determine how high we jump. In fact, Dr. Dorothy Jungerward, author of Everybody Wins, has said that we are all born to win, and we agree with that, especially if we're born again, we're born to win. But Dorothy says we're born to win, but conditioned to lose. But praise God, when we're born again, we are conditioned to win and break through all barriers. I love the story of Steve Harvey. You know, when Steve was in the sixth grade, his teacher asked him, and in fact, everyone in the class, to write down what they wanted to be when they grew up. Well, everyone started writing, and Stevie got so excited, he knew exactly what he wanted to be. When he got to be older, he wanted to be on TV, and that's what he wrote down. And then he turned it in. Well, the teacher started calling out the kids' names and reading out what they wrote down. He couldn't wait for her to call his name. And when the teacher finally got to him, she said, "Little Stevie, stand up and come to the front of the room." Well, he was so excited. He walked down to the front. He thought he had written down something so deep and powerful that the teacher wanted to share it with everybody. Now, little Stevie was a poor kid. He had hand-me-down clothes. He had a stuttering problem. But this was his chance to show them what little Stevie was made of. So he couldn't wait to get the front. And then the teacher said, "Little Stevie, what did you write on your paper?" Well, he stuck his chest out and he responded with pride, just like an Olympic gold medal winner. And he said, "I want to be on TV." Then the teacher confused him when she followed up with, "Well, why did you write that down?" And he thought, "Well, isn't that what you wanted us to do?" So he respectfully said, "I thought that is what you wanted us to do. So I wrote down that I wanted to be on TV." And then his confusion was turned into horror when she said, "Well, little Stevie, do you know anybody on TV?" "No, ma'am." "Has anyone in your family been on TV?" Again, he answered, "No, ma'am." Then she delivered a final blow when she said, "Well, Stevie, you can't be on TV." Now, she said, "Take your paper home and write down something more realistic and bring it down back tomorrow." Little Stevie was confused. He was angry. He didn't understand. The teacher asked him what he wanted to be, not what his parents did, not what other people thought he should be. He said he knew exactly what he wanted to do. But she killed his dreams right in front of the whole class. The teacher even called his house before he got home. And so as soon as he walked in the front door, his mother said to him, what happened at school today? And little Stevie told his mother. And so his mom said, boy, why didn't you write down something your teacher wanted? And Steve stood in the kitchen, and he couldn't understand why his mother was so upset. He said that in the sixth grade, he was like their little flea dreaming and jumping 200 times his size. He wanted to be on TV like Bill Crosby. He said he knew. He didn't want to be a lawyer. He didn't want to be a doctor. He didn't want to be an electrician. He didn't want to be anything. He wanted to be funny. He wanted to be a comedian. So when his father got home, his mother told him what happened at school. And his father said, well, what's wrong with little Stevie believing that he wants to be on TV? His mom answered, well, the teacher wants him to write down something more believable. His father replied, well, if that is what he wants to be, listen to this family, she better start believing it. That's a great father right there. So then his father said, Stevie, go into the bedroom. I'm going to come and talk to you. So when the father finally came in the room, he said, tell me what happened at school. And so little Stevie told him everything. And then his father told him to get out a piece of paper, and they agreed to write down the word policeman on it and then hand that in the next day, because that would be believable, right? But then his father told him to do something that changed his life forever. And he said, Stevie, put that first piece of paper that you wrote in your top drawer. And every morning before school, you take it out and you read it. And every night before you go to bed, you take it out of your top drawer and you believe it. And you believe that one day you will be on TV. Well, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith shows a reality what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So now when you turn on the TV in the USA 7 days a week, guess who you see? You see Steve Harvey is on TV. He didn't allow his negative teacher in the sixth grade with her limited expectations of him to affect him. No, he decided he was going to break the barriers of limitations. So when Steve Harvey was young, he saw himself not as who he was, family, but as who he wanted to become. How do we see ourselves? He didn't look at his poverty. He didn't look at his bad background. He didn't look at his weaknesses or shortcomings. He didn't even look at his stuttering. He didn't look at his inadequacies. No, he had a vision about his future, and it inspired him. And you know what, family? He's thoroughly born again and trusts in the Lord. We have to see ourselves successful. We have to see ourselves healed, well, whole. We have to see ourselves overcoming in life, getting jobs, being the best. But above all, family, we have to see ourselves as soul winners. God has destined so much more for each and every one of us. We were fashioned perfectly for our assignment. We were created for a special assignment on this planet. God has put gifts and talents inside of each and every one of us, but we have to develop them. I love this. Listen to this, family. God's gifts to us are the gifts and the talents that He's put inside of us. But our gift to God is to develop those gifts and talents that He has put inside of us. Now, God is no respecter of persons. He created Jeremiah for a special time. He created Esther for a special time. And He has created you and He's created me for such a time as this. He's got a special calling on all our lives, and we can fulfill the will of God because we have got His Word inside. We've got the precious Holy Spirit. We know the Word. Now, before you say to me, wait a minute, Pastor Bev, I don't qualify to be used by God. I've made so many mistakes in life. If you just knew my history, if you just knew me, Pastor Bev, I've messed up. God can't use me. Well, I'm glad you said that today, because God is going to help you overcome that lie from the enemy. Before you give me any reasons why God can't use you, remember this: God never uses perfect people. Let me say that again. God never uses perfect people. Isn't that great? None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. You know, if you look in the Bible, you will see the people that God used so mightily. If you look at them, none of them really would qualify if you want a perfect person. But let's pretend something today. Let's pretend we're going to do an interview, because we need a pastor in CFC, another pastor, to help us shepherd the sheep here at CFC. Well, let's have a look at Adam. He's the first candidate that came for an interview to be a pastor. And after the interview, we found he was a good man. But he actually had a problem with his wife. She influenced him and apparently made him eat some forbidden fruit. And then he said he went walking around the garden in the nude with his wife. So no, no, no. We can't have any pastors walking around the nude. No, he would not do a Christian Family Church, sorry. So we had to let him go. He didn't pass the interview. But then we interviewed Noah. But you know what, family? We found out that this Noah was prone to unrealistic building projects. He actually thought the earth was going to be flooded with water. And I'm telling you, he's a conspiracy theorist. That's who he is. Nope, we didn't think he was good to be a pastor at CFC. Oh, then you know who? Joseph came for an interview. But you know what, family? We found out Joseph, he's such a big thinker. He believes in dreams and interpretation of dreams. And guess what? He had a prison record. Sorry, he couldn't be a pastor of Christian Family Church if he's got a prison record. Solomon came for an interview. Now, you know, we've seen him on TV. He's a great preacher. He actually put out a book on wisdom. It's not a bad book. You should read it. But we could never employ him at CFC. Golly, he would be distracted by all his wives. Then Jonah came along. But he told us that he refused to obey the call of God in his life. And then he claimed he was swallowed by a big fish. And then he said the fish spat him out on the seashore. Golly, we couldn't believe him. We just put the phone down. Then Hosea came for an interview. What a wonderful man. Wow. He walks in another level of forgiveness, that's for sure. But our church couldn't have him as a pastor. Do you know what his wife's occupation is? Ask the person next to you. Then David came along. And we thought, okay, this is a great guy. Oh, he loves God and he claims to be the apple of God's eye and he's a heart after God. But actually, we couldn't hire him because he had a murder charge against him. And then he was involved in an adulterous affair. So no, he wouldn't qualify. You see, family, God doesn't look for perfect people. And what about the old man Moses? He was 80 years old. He had been a shepherd for 40 years. He had a speech impediment when God asked him to lead millions. But Moses said, "It's impossible for you to use me." And Moses gave not one, but five reasons why God couldn't use him. Here they are. Number one, he said he was not the person for the job. Number two, he was afraid people would not understand him. Number three, he was afraid that people would not believe him. Number four, he said he wasn't a good speaker. Number five, he actually wanted someone else to be sent in his place. Moses felt that God used poor judgment in selecting him for such a significant task. But have we ever felt that way? That God has given us a task? How many of us have felt insignificant, unqualified for the job that God has given us? Remember, Moses murdered an Egyptian, then he fled into the desert for 40 years of his life. All the education that he received at Pharaoh's palace could do him no good. And Moses had a poor image of himself, and he argued with God about his abilities. Moses eventually learned to put his faith and his trust in God instead of depending on his own ability. And all of us have this great God inside of us that we can depend on. God selected an 8-year-old shepherd, a murderer, to lead millions of captive Israelites out of Egyptian bondage in the greatest mass exodus of all time. Everybody, at some point in their lives, feels inadequate, just as Moses felt. The good news, family, is that in spite of Noah, he was needed to build the ark, and he did it. In spite of Joseph, he was needed to supply a nation with food, and he did it. In spite of David, God used him to defeat Goliath. And in spite of Jonah, he was needed to preach to Nineveh, and he did. And when God needed a judge, he found a woman by the name of Deborah. So God has a plan that only you and I can fulfill. There are souls that only you and I can reach. And the greatest thing we can ever achieve in life, even if you say, Pastor Bev, I'm not a David, I'm not a Moses, I'm not a Deborah, well, you know what you can be? The greatest thing in life is to become a soul winner. As we conclude today, remember this. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. But we have to say, yes, Lord, in spite of my inadequacies, in spite of my deficiencies and my failures, I'm going to be like Moses. I'm going to put my trust and my hope and my faith in you, Father, knowing that with God, all things are possible. And the question I have for all of us is, will we answer the call to be available, to be used by God? And if that's you today, you say, Pastor Bev, I'm available. I've felt stagnant for a while. I've gone through disappointments. I've gone through valleys. I've gone through such trials and tribulations, and I realize I got stuck. I'm like the Dead Sea. I'm not flowing. I'm not giving. I'm not doing. I'm not involved. But I want to be. I want to be available for God. Well, if that's you, I want you to come to the front right now. The pastors and all the leaders, they're going to be here, and they're going to lay hands on you. The music is going to play, and God's going to touch you in a special way. Remember, God wants to use you, take you to the next level. He wants you to be available to win souls, to speak for Him, to lay hands on the sick. He wants to take you, and He wants to make your life complete. He wants to fulfill His destiny in your life. Come forward. And remember, Jesus loves you.
I'm going to lay hands on you in a moment, so you're welcome to come forward and stand in front of the pastors. And while you're coming down, for the rest of us, I'd like you just to bow your heads and close your eyes at this time. As you've heard this amazing message this morning from Dr. Bev, and you're saying to yourself, you know, I want to be used by God, I want to make a difference, but I don't know this Lord that you're talking about personally. Well, friend, the Bible says that it's important that we become children of God. And in Romans, it says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. In other words, you'll be a child of God and you'll be in right standing with God. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, if you say, I want to make a decision today to receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, then friend, I want to pray for you. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come to me. I'm not going down to you. You just stay in your seat. And in a moment, I'm going to count to three. And if you want to pray that prayer, then you'll simply just raise your hand when I count to three, and we'll pray that prayer with you. My second invitation is to anybody that's here this morning, and you're saying, I once served the Lord, but my relationship with Him has grown cold. I'm not serving God the way I used to. Well, friend, if you want to renew that relationship today, please allow me to include you in that first prayer as well. And you can know for sure that your relationship with God will be back on track. And then my final invitation is to anybody that's here this morning or online, and you're saying, Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen to me when I breathe my last. Will I go to heaven? Or will I slip into the flames of hell? I just don't know. Well, friend, please allow me to also pray for you. Then you can know for sure that heaven is your home. Amen. And so if you will do that now, as I count to three, I want to know Jesus for the first time. I want to come back to Him and renew my relationship. Or I simply need to know that when I breathe my last, I'll go up to heaven. And if that's you, won't you raise your hand now as I count to three. One, two, three. Just raise it above your head. Raise it above your head so I can see it. And we'll pray for you this morning. Is there anybody here this morning? Just keep your hands raised, even up front here. You can just raise your hands. Keep your hands up high. I need to know my relationship with the Lord is right. Praise God. Okay. Well, just keep your hands up. Our teams are looking for you. They're just going to walk over and place the hand on your shoulder. There's some hands over there. You can just walk up, place your hand on their shoulder. And we're going to pray this prayer with you this morning. And you can know for sure that heaven's in your home. You can do this if you're online at home or if you're in the other venues. You can do the same for me. So I'm going to ask everybody this morning to pray this prayer together, but especially those that have raised their hands. Let's all say this together this morning. Say this. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning just as I am. Please forgive me for every sin. Today, I choose to decree and declare that Jesus is Lord and He was raised from the dead. I accept what He's done for me. I'm in need of a Savior, and I receive you, Lord, as my Savior today. I also choose to forgive every person who has hurt me or offended me. And today, because of my decision, I now know I'm in right standing with you. Heaven is my home. And you are my loving Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us during this episode of Living Life with Dr. Theo and Bev Vollmerens. We hope that through this inspired teaching, you had an encounter with God. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Apostle Theo and Dr. Bev Vollmerens and would like to enjoy more resources, we hope you will visit our website at www.christianfamilychurch.co.za, or for our American listeners, www.christianfamilychurchsa.com.